This is KLCC News. I'm Angela Kellner. The Oregon legislature on Monday started their 35-day special legislative session. Here to speak with me about it is KLCC's Salem correspondent, Chris Lehman. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Angela.
This week, there's been a lot of movement on the minimum wage issue. What's the latest on that?
Well, currently the Senate and the House have their own versions of the minimum wage, although it appears that the Senate version is kind of coming to the forefront at the moment. It's really quite complicated to describe on the radio, but basically it sets up three different minimum wages depending on what part of the state you live in. There would be the highest minimum wage for the Portland metro area. There would be a mid-range for higher populated counties like Lane County, Marion County, Linn County, mainly through the Willamette Valley. And then there would be a lower minimum wage yet that would apply to more rural counties, eastern Oregon and some on the southern Oregon coast like Coos and Curry counties. Ultimately, by 2022, the Portland metro area would see a $14.75 minimum wage. That's probably the number a lot of people would be focused on, but for the Lane County area, it would be $13.50. But again, not until 2022. Whether that's a fast enough and high enough increase to satisfy the groups that are collecting signatures to get a minimum wage increase on the ballot is unclear at this point. It's also not clear whether there are even enough votes in the legislature to get that minimum wage increase passed here.
So we've got the legislative leaders, and we've also got the public citizens who are working on some ballot initiatives. Right now, some lawmakers are working on a plan that would head off another contentious ballot initiative to raise corporate taxes. Does that seem to be gaining momentum in the legislature?
Well, even the sponsor of that proposal in the legislature admitted that it was a bit of a tough sell here to get that corporate tax increase passed, even though it would be a smaller increase than what will likely go on the ballot. And yes, the item that is possibly headed for the ballot is a citizens' initiative, but make no doubt about it, the campaign behind it is funded by some public employee unions with a lot of political heft. So it does mean that they have the experience and know-how to get something on the ballot and to get it passed. But corporate groups, business groups, are saying that they'll fight it tooth and nail should it go to the ballot. So the idea of getting something passed in the legislature is to head off what could be a very bruising campaign over that initiative. But it's a lot to bite off in a 35-day legislative session that is already one-fifth over. So every day that goes by that they don't come to a deal is probably means it's less likely to happen.
Another controversial or contentious issue that's here in the state and nationally is gun control and background checks. On Thursday, a House panel held a hearing on a bill that would change the law around how delayed criminal background checks for gun purchases are handled. What would that bill change?
Well, this is one of those areas where federal law and state law sort of overlap each other. But right now, technically speaking, if you go to buy a gun from a licensed firearms dealer, and for most people, the background check clears fairly quickly, within minutes in most cases. But for some people, there's some glitch somewhere in the system, and it can't immediately be determined. Well, under current law, if you can't figure that status out within 3 days, and when I say if you can't figure it out, it's really the state, then the dealer is free to go ahead and sell the gun to you. A lot of gun dealers say they won't sell the gun. They'll wait for as long as it takes for the background check to come back. But technically, they'd be allowed to sell the gun at that point. This bill would change that so that the gun cannot be sold until the background check is completed and presumably the person passes it, no matter if that takes 4 days or 4 months. Opponents to this say that this would essentially put people at the hands of government bureaucracy. And I mean, journalists know how long it can take to get a public records request back. So, you know, we can certainly understand that in some cases it might take a long time to figure out if somebody is legally able to purchase a gun. There's also some feeling among opponents to this that this February session, you know, Democrats initially said there wouldn't be any gun bills at all, yet here we are discussing this one. So there is some feeling of perhaps maybe they weren't being clear on that point, but supporters of it say it's a common sense thing to kind of make sure that guns don't slip through to people who aren't supposed to have them.
Republicans have been very vocal this session about what they're calling an overreach of power by majority Democrats. How have they been taking out their frustrations?
Well, a couple of ways that are surfacing this month. Number one is typically the legislature suspends a rule that requires every single bill to be read out loud in its entirety before final passage. That is just a thing that dates to the 1859 Oregon Constitution, and it's typically suspended routinely, but it requires both parties essentially to go along with that, a two-thirds vote. Republicans are saying, no, we're going to make you read every single bill out loud in its entirety. Well, a lot of bills are one or two pages long. It's not a big deal. Some bills are 3, 4, 20, or 50 pages long. That could take a very long time to read if Republicans stick with that. They've relented a little bit here and there for selected bills, but officially that's still the rule at this point, that they have to read all of the bills out loud in their entirety. Another thing they're doing this month is requiring some people testifying to swear an oath that they'll be truthful. This is something you normally see in court. It's something that technically is allowed in the legislature, but again, is generally not done because generally people are considered to be telling the truth as they testify and they don't need to swear an oath. But some Republicans are asking for people to swear an oath that they'll be truthful before they testify. So, you know, a couple of things there to sort of help Republicans prove their point, or they think they're proving their point, that this is not a legislative session, this short 35-day session, that major policy initiatives should be considered.
And with just 30 days to go, what's on the calendar for next week in the state legislature?
Well, in a way, the answer to that is everything is on the calendar for next week, because if it's not on the calendar by the end of next week, by Thursday, actually, if it hasn't cleared out of the original committee that it was introduced in, then it's a dead bill for this session. Now, there's always exceptions to that. There are a few committees that don't have deadlines that apply to them. There are other ways you can get bills to be resurrected by introducing them as amendments to other bills. That being said, if it doesn't clear out of its first committee by next Thursday, in many cases, it won't be going anywhere. So it's going to be a mad dash to get that done for lawmakers, and they're scheduling themselves pretty heavily over the coming week.
Chris Lehman is KLCC's Salem correspondent. Chris, thank you for getting us caught up with what's going on in the legislature.
You're quite welcome.
This is KLCC News. I'm Angela Kellner.